Now, some good news, as four new primary schools are being established this year on Dublin's north side. And I'm now joined with Senator Catherine Noone, Fine Gael candidate for the next local election for Dublin Bay North, to tell us more about it. We'll also be talking about the need for a cooling off period for online airline bookings, also about calling for social media firms to be reclassified as publishers, and also local transport issues raised at a recent meeting in Raheny. Good afternoon, Catherine, and thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Johnny, how are you?
Very well, thank you. First of all, in relation to the four new primary schools, Educate Together will be patrons of two, one of which is in the Dunamead Hoth, 16 classrooms. The other's in Colestor, Raheny and Clontarfery with 8 classrooms. Do you know exactly where these areas are in relation to the two new schools, like where exactly they are situated? Like, something makes me guess that the first one is in Balmain, perhaps?
Well, there is a Gael school as well that is going to come into being in Merino. And then the latter school that you mentioned is in Colestor, Raheny, Clontarf catchment area. And the Donnymead Hoth one is more the north end of the constituency. So they're the three main schools that will be coming on stream, and the Gael school was announced separately to the more recent announcement. The one in Colestor, Raheny, Clontarf catchment area will have temporary accommodation for a period, and then it will become a more permanent structure after the tender process has gone through, etc. So that's in the Merino area.
Okay, so we don't know exactly where they're situated, but that doesn't matter. Dublin and Dunleary Education and Training Board, they will be patrons of the other two, one in Swords North, the other in Swords South, with 8 classrooms in each.
But that's true. That's actually not in Dublin Bay North, not in my constituency. That's correct, yeah.
But but it's all part and parcel.
It's all part of the area that you cover on the radio for sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Will all of these schools be up and running for the next annual term in September?
I know for sure that the one in Raheny, Colestor, Clontarf catchment area will be up and running on a temporary basis until the tender process has gone through. But I'm not entirely sure that the Donnymead Hoth one will be ready for September. But it's expected that they will be, you know, on stream in the next year or so at the very least.
Okay, and as you've touched on already, the existing provisions will extend to include extra places over a period of time, and I think that's all part of the 6-year programme of capital investments in schools, isn't it?
Exactly, 2016 to 2021. It reflects the fact that parental preference has become a key determinant in deciding the patronage of new schools, and I think that's really to be welcomed. You know, the views of parents are expressed through a process, you know, and it's strongly reflected in the schools that are coming on stream now in the next while.
Yeah. What's your personal view in relation to the role of parents in the development of schools?
Well, I do think parents generally have always had an active role, but I think it's very welcome I suppose our society has become a lot more cosmopolitan, or, you know, whatever word you'd wish to use. You know, it's not like it was maybe 60 years ago, with people from many different backgrounds and from, you know, a variety of different countries. So they don't necessarily share the exact same religion or the exact same, you know, ideologies in life. So I think that Educate Together is a fantastic model to reflect a society, you know, which has become more diverse.
Yes.
And parents having a role in that is a key. You know, that the fact that they get to express what, you know, their preference or lack of preference for certain aspects of their children's education, I think that's really positive.
Right. Well, I have to say, in terms of primary education, this is all great news for those communities on Dublin's north side. But moving on to our next topic, if that's all right, I believe you have called on airlines to implement a cancellation policy for online bookings to keep in line with the cooling off period that applies already for other online purchases. Just tell us a bit more about it.
Well, basically, we're doing a bit of research on this, and under the EU Consumer Rights Directive, which applies to people shopping online generally, consumers have a 14-day cooling off period, during which time they can cancel the contract for any reason and not incur penalties or fees. And, you know, for probably practical reasons, in many instances, it doesn't apply to flights. But I do think that, you know, in a time when, you know, online is becoming more and more the place where people purchase, I do think that it would be prudent for airlines to allow people a 24-hour period during which they wouldn't incur penalties if they make a mistake on their booking, or if, you know, it could happen to any of us that we book for a particular weekend and then we realise, oh, actually, you know, it's my niece's confirmation that weekend, I can't go, or, you know, just during that short period, not to say that you should be allowed to cancel at any stage. And I think with airline bookings and that, they have become, you know, the small print is very complicated and overly so. And I think with older people booking online, there may be a tendency to, you know, make mistakes. And, you know, I think it would reflect well for consumers if there was this type of rule brought in whereby, you know, a 24-hour period was allowed where people could change their minds or change the details on a booking.
Yes, well, I have to say it's very easy to make a mistake online, as you said. I can press the wrong button, end up booking the wrong flight. Happens all the time, and there should be an option. There should be an option to cancel.
Yeah, I really think, and some airlines do it a little bit already. You know, EasyJet have a policy, even though they have a small charge. But, you know, I think for a lot of people, the small print is just so dense and so complicated that, you know, you'd nearly just book a new flight rather than go through all the hassle of it. And the, you know, it's ultimately very expensive for people when they make mistakes. So I think that it would be very much in line with other EU consumer rights legislation to have something like that for airlines. And it's something that I've spoken to Minister Humphreys about, and she's going to have a look at it and see if it might be something that we could bring in Ireland. But it's certainly, from the feedback that I've had on social media and that, it's something that people really get frustrated about, and it's something that I think would be very welcome for the vast majority of consumers. And thankfully, people are travelling a lot more than they might have in the past, because airlines or air travel has become so much more affordable. So, you know, it affects everybody, really. It affects everybody in society one way or another. So
absolutely,
it's certainly something I've got a lot of positive feedback on.
Yeah, are you expecting a positive response?
I don't know. You know, you never know what the department might say to a proposal that you make in terms of policy. And there could be a very valid, legitimate reason why, you know, it can't happen. Like, obviously, it couldn't cover a situation where I decide to go to London tomorrow at 12 o'clock and I book a flight. And, you know, for that type of short-term travel, you know, you obviously couldn't just not turn up and not pay for your flight. So it's technical enough, but I'm hoping that the department will at least look into it and look into the different, parts of it that might make sense, and hopefully could become law.
Okay, you've also called for social media companies to be reclassified, as publishers, to make them responsible for content that they distribute. I ask you to just elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, well, social media companies have been into the houses here. I sit on the Children's Committee, and we've had them in before in the context of online booking. I'm obsessed with the online booking now after the flights, but online difficulties for children and, you know, bullying and cyberbullying and all of that that goes on online, unfortunately. And I think that they've had a very hands-off approach in general, and it would make sense to make them more responsible. And with newspapers, they can't just have any content up there. Now, I know Facebook, Twitter, Instagram are very different places to, a newspaper, but ultimately they don't take any responsibility for the content. And actually, you know, since I called for that, Minister Bruton has, as the Minister for in the Environment and Communications, has proposed a law whereby there will be heavy fines for social media companies who don't take down certain content. So content that is visibly violent and unsuitable for children should not be available to them online. Content that helps or that facilitates eating disorders, that will no longer be available online. Things like that, that really, you know, social media firms have had a very hands-off approach with, they will have a responsibility. And let's face it, they have the resources to be able to look at this and to, you know, make a more meaningful input into keeping people safe online. And we'll also have a regulator whose job it will be to regulate the internet when it comes to keeping children safe. And that's something I feel really passionately about, and I'm very glad that that's planned in terms of policy in this country.
Absolutely. I have to say this is very important, particularly where, you know, young teens and children are exposed to harmful content and images. And your suggestion would definitely place more pressure on the social media firms to do more policing, you know, in relation to the harmful content.
Yeah, and they've been totally hands off, and I have felt very frustrated with the social media firms in a lot of meetings I've had with them, because, you know, I mean, for example, if there's difficult content online, Facebook's, or when I say difficult, you know, violent or, you know, stuff that wouldn't be ideal for children to see, to say the least, you know, that their policy was to put a red flag on it. Now, I don't know about you, Johnny, but like when I was a teenager, if I saw a red flag, I'd be more inclined to look at it. So it was this kind of, you know, obviously it's all about traffic and keeping people on online and using these platforms. But I think they're going to have to really take a hard look at how they're approaching safety for children online now, which, as you say, you know, it forces them to, which is great.
Okay. If you don't mind me asking you, the traffic accident on the M50, all in relation to this, what was that all about?
Oh, you mean where the lady was injured and the imagery went...
Oh, it went viral.
Oh, yeah.
My God. All right.
That's a very
okay.
difficult one, you know. Yeah, it is a very difficult one. And you can't kind of control what people are going to do in that sense. You know, I suppose there's a fine line between, you know, you need to allow freedom of expression while protecting especially younger people online. And you can't kind of control what somebody will send you or what somebody will put on their feed. But there is a wider question about how we conduct ourselves as a society and what is deemed appropriate online and how we communicate with one another. And it's a conversation we could have for a good few hours, Johnny, I'd say.
Yes, it is indeed. So I'll move on. Finally, Catherine, many locals attended a recent meeting at Raheny GAA Club to talk about concerns over transport issues for the area. What were the main issues? Transport issues discussed.
There were a variety of issues raised, and we had a very big attendance at the meeting, and we had representatives from the cycling organisation, from Dublin Bus and Éireann Roth Éireann. So mostly it was on the Bus Connects issue that people raised issues, and in particular issues around the route of the 31, the 31A and the 29A. And there were also issues raised by people with disabilities. And then there were wider issues raised, you know, in the whole transport area and how a modern society should be operating when it comes to, you know, infrastructure and transport. So it was a very, you know, robust meeting. And I suppose really the take from it was that the Bus Connects have listened to people and they're still in the process of finalising their plans. So I felt that the crowd were quite reassured in a way by what the gentleman from Bus Éireann had to say. But we still don't know really what the outcome will be in terms of the bus routes at this moment, you know, so they're still obviously. But I think it's really good for residents to have that opportunity to let the people who are making these decisions know that they would be dissatisfied with certain elements of their plans. And, you know, we need to make changes and we need to modernise our infrastructure, but we don't want to leave people, you know, very discommoded by any changes. So I was very happy that they appeared to listen and appeared to have listened to concerns and seemed to be familiar with the concerns that people had in the area. And, for example, somebody raised the issue of there not being a bus directly to the airport from Raheny, and you know that occurred, that struck me as something very, very sensible to say and very logical. But when the gentleman from Bus Éireann explained that, you know, if you were to have a direct route from every village around Dublin, you know, it just wouldn't make any sense. So there have to be strategic points in an area where people can actually access a bus to get to the airport. So it was a very interesting meeting, and I was happy that so many people turned up, you know, to air their grievances and their difficulties with the plans. And it was very worthwhile, and I'll certainly be keeping keeping an eye on all of those issues that were brought to my attention, and hoping that Bus Connects in particular, you know, really listen to local residents.
Yes, well, it's all about communication, which is very important. Communication
Absolutely.
Between those on the ground and those responsible
Absolutely.
For implementing.
You put your finger on it there,
yeah,
Johnny.
Yeah.
It's all about communication.
Just as a matter of interest, any Metrolink issues of concern for locals in the area? Probably not.
No, do you know, it didn't come up at all.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't
okay.
actually come up as an issue with that.
Okay.
But obviously people would be keen for there to be a Metrolink.
And yeah,
I suppose
yeah.
it's seen as something that isn't as imminent, you know, that it's a little bit further down the road.
Well, that's very true. Yeah.
Cost.
What about the possibility for some locals who may be losing part of their gardens due to Bus Connects? Any concerns in relation to that at the meeting?
No.
Right.
That wasn't raised.
I
don't think it is as much of a concern in the particular area that the meeting was held. To be honest, I don't think there are any specific issues in that area. But that's certainly something that if people bring it to my attention, I'll be obviously voicing it with Dublin Bus and at any stage when that's brought to my attention.
Okay. What was the overall view in relation to making our city bicycle friendly?
The overall view, actually, one gentleman made a contribution about safety and, you know, bicycles having to be more lit up. I don't know about you, but I often see, like, I was driving along the other night and I saw a lady with their child on the back, and the light was very faint. I mean, you could almost say there was no light on the back of the bike, and that just puts the shivers through me. So there was a gentleman who raised, you know, a cycling awareness and safety awareness. You know, we have so much awareness when it comes to cars and the distance that you should be behind a car, but you know, if bicycles are going to be on the road as much as we would like them to be, well then we need to have really good awareness when it comes to safety and, you know, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate depending on the time of year, etc. So that was one interesting thing that was brought up, but obviously people are very in favour of as much cycling as possible, but I think we all accept that we live in a climate where we know we're not all going to be able to be on bikes all the time, you know, and that was definitely felt in the meeting when it came to the contributions on the bus and train and the necessity for them. You know, we need to make sure that we have a very holistic approach to you know, totally embracing cycling. You know, there's been a lot of initiatives for cycle lanes and that's all really positive, but we need the buses and the trains to work well, and we need to voice our concerns when it comes to any changes that might be made that could negatively impact local residents.
Right, so any need for a follow-up meeting to discuss these issues again in the near
future?
Yeah,
by all means, in due course, there may be the necessity to have a follow-up meeting. But for the moment, I think we're going to have to wait and see what Bus Connects come up with. There was a period where people could put in submissions up until, I believe, the middle of March, where people could put in submissions on main routes. So once that's closed, we'll get closer to a decision as to how it's actually going to be presented. So, you know, I'll be keeping a close eye on that and keeping residents informed. And we don't necessarily always have to have a meeting. We can always talk to you about it to get the word out there, get stuff into the Raheny News or the Northside People, or equally, you know, drop literature into people's homes so that they're aware.
Right, so, okay, we'll leave it at that, Catherine, unless there's anything else you'd like to add before we finish up?
No, just thanks for having me on, and good to chat to you, and if there's ever anything you want to have a discussion about, please do keep in contact.
Absolutely, thank you very much.
Okay.
Catherine, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Johnny.
Yeah,
take
all the
care.
Very best.
Bye.
Take care,
bye.
Have a great
bye.
Day.
Bye-bye.
Now, that was Senator Catherine Noon, Fine Gael candidate for the next local election, talking about 4 new primary schools for Dublin's North East, the need for a cooling off period for online airline bookings, call for social media firms to be reclassified as publishers, quite a lot of stuff here, isn't there? And travel issues affecting locals in Raheny.